This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen along with you. Did you know that stroke kills twice as many women as breast cancer every year? But in a recent survey, women believed that breast cancer was 5 times more prevalent than stroke. And 40% of women said that they were only somewhat or not at all worried about having a stroke. Well, here to tell us why this is of great concern to women and their healthcare providers is registered nurse Shelley Clark. She's the stroke program coordinator for Upstate University Hospital. Welcome, Shelley. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Linda.
So women are vulnerable to having strokes. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they definitely are. There are approximately 800,000 newer recurrent strokes every year, and more than half of those are women.
Wow.
And women, actually, we live longer. So as we know, there's a higher risk of stroke the older we get. And so women have a higher lifetime risk of stroke.
Wow. I'd bet most women would not even think that. It's always for someone else, always
right.
For the men.
Exactly. And the other concerns that are associated with women is that because we are older when we have our stroke, we may be alone and widowed. Or we may be part of that generation where maybe we're taking care of parents, or maybe we're taking care of children or grandchildren. So when we take that person out of commission, who then cares for the remainder of the family? So these characteristics, when we talk about the disability that may be associated with stroke, makes it so much more important in women that we understand how to recognize it and then how to prevent it.
Well, let's get to that, okay? But before we get to exactly how to recognize it, let's talk about what is a stroke, because then I want to get to what women need to know and what to do about it. So first of all, what exactly is a stroke to start with?
Very simple level, stroke is an interruption of blood flow to the brain. We require a fresh supply of oxygen and nutrients for our brain all the time. So when something interrupts it, either due to a clot, which cuts off the blood supply to a portion of the brain, or a hemorrhage, where you have a ruptured blood vessel in the brain, that area of the brain is no longer getting the oxygen and nutrition it needs.
And therefore it leads to
brain tissue damage.
Some brain injury, basically.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what do women need to know or to do? First, let's talk about this acronym FAST, F-A-S-T. What does it mean? Because it's always in the news as a way of remembering what to do. Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. FAST is the way we can recognize stroke happening in another person, and very often we are going to have to be the ones to call for that person because one of the disabilities may be speech. So FAST is face, arm, speech, time.
Okay, let's go through them really quickly. When you say face, what does that mean?
Face. We ask somebody to smile, and we look to see if they have some kind of a facial droop, which is showing us weakness or paralysis in that side of the face.
So that's one clue. What about arm?
Arm is, we ask them to raise their arms, and either they can't raise an arm, or they can raise it, but they can't hold it up.
Okay. And speech?
Speech. We ask them to repeat a simple sentence. If I said, Linda, please say the sky is blue.
Mm-hmm. The sky is blue.
What that tells me is, A, you understood what I asked, B, you could obey the command, and C, you could articulate the words. All important pieces of assessing somebody's ability to speak.
And how about T for time? What does that mean?
Time is if you have a sudden onset of any one of these symptoms. You don't necessarily have to have all three. Please call 911. The faster you get into our facility, the faster we can recognize and treat you and hopefully decrease the amount of disability associated with that stroke.
Yes, as I've heard many times over, they talk about brain is time. So the faster you get help, the faster you get into a stroke center, the less damage that can be done to the brain, will be done to the brain.
Right, right. When we say time is brain, it's because we say that 2 million neurons per minute die as a result of being deprived of oxygen.
So let's go to this idea of women being different than men, because I know that they've talked about that with heart attacks, and I know that the evidence is not clear or definitive at this point that women have different symptoms, but you said that there seem to be some agreed upon differences. What are they?
Right. So a lot of what happened in the literature was when we did our initial testing, we did it more on men, and we thought that there were parallels, but now we're learning that's not necessarily true. So there's some literature that suggests that some very non-specific type of symptoms, such as face or limb pain, especially on the affected side, if it's on one side of the body, or hiccups, nausea, general weakness.
And are these things that come on suddenly or that are going on for a long time?
They come on suddenly, but as you can imagine, chest pain, shortness of breath may be associated with something else. It may be associated with a heart attack. So while these symptoms independently, especially the ones of nausea and hiccups, may not necessarily in isolation mean you're having a stroke, if it's happening in combination with perhaps that facial droop or something, now all of a sudden that should raise your alert a little bit more.
So that in the context of these classic symptoms that you described before, mm-hmm. not raising your arm, not being able to speak or what have you, that's going to be an indication that you better get some help immediately.
Absolutely.
What, tell us about this thing called a mini stroke, because it's often bandied about as something not to worry about, or some people say, yes, you must worry about it. They call it a TIA, transient ischemic attack. Tell me about that.
Well, first of all, those of us who work in the stroke world really don't like the term mini stroke, because is there any such thing as a small stroke? So a TIA, by transient, it means temporary. So something had blocked that flow of blood so that you temporarily did not get oxygen to that part of the brain. But then something happened where that blood flow was restored. And as a result, you didn't end up with brain tissue damage. But it's a huge warning sign that you've got something going on in there. So we do not take them lightly.
So does that mean if you have one of these TIAs that you should get assistance or help?
Prompt treatment. And we still encourage, if you have the symptoms and they start to improve, still call 911, because you may or may not be having it and you can't tell just by yourself.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Shelley Clark. She's the stroke program coordinator for Upstate University Hospital. And we're talking about stroke in women and what you need to know. Let's talk about the risk factors that are specific to women, that may be also more specific to women, and what you can do about them. You mentioned to me at one point things like high blood pressure, atrial fibrillation, diabetes, migraines with aura. Let's take one at a time. What about high blood pressure?
So high blood pressure is the most common, what we call modifiable, meaning you can do something about it, risk factor for stroke. And it has the greatest impact on reducing stroke. This is true for both men and women. What we find in women, though, is that they are more likely to have high blood pressure, partly because we live longer. It occurs more likely after menopause. So for some reason, our hormones seem to have a protective nature. But more important than anything is that while we're more likely to be treated for the high blood pressure, we're less likely to be in control.
Really?
And so the control part of it. So when we hear women who say, oh, I take my medicine every day, but my blood pressure is still pretty high at whatever the number is, that makes me concerned, because that's exactly what we're talking about in terms of control.
So what do we do about it?
A lot of times it's because either we've been on medications and we didn't like the side effects, or maybe we're not taking it seriously. Maybe we're not taking our blood pressure regular times and sort of advocating for ourselves. There are so many different types of blood pressure medicines and combinations.
But the message here is get it under control.
Get it under control and make sure you're having that dialogue with your primary care provider that you're worried about it as well as they should be.
What's atrial fibrillation and how does that lead to stroke?
Atrial fibrillation is an irregular heartbeat. And as a result of what happens in this irregular heartbeat, it sets up small clots. And these clots can then go to the brain, which increase your risk of stroke by 5 times.
Wow. So what do you do about it?
Well, women, because we live longer and we know that this occurs more likely as you get older, we're talking about having them regularly screened. And that can be done by a pulse check, as well as having an EKG in order to determine if you're having these symptoms.
And what can you do about those symptoms, though?
And then it's anticoagulation. We're looking at
blood thinners.
Right, exactly, as some type of a blood thinner.
How about things like diabetes? You know, with the, as you mentioned, mentioned obesity and a kind of the metabolic syndrome that has come about. More and more women have diabetes. What do you need to do to make sure that doesn't lead to stroke?
Right. Metabolic syndrome is when we talk about the insulin resistance, diabetes, the increased waist circumference, especially if it's bigger than 35 inches, high triglycerides, which goes along with our cholesterol levels, and then the high blood pressure. The combination of those four actually put you at a higher risk of stroke. And compared to men, we're unsure why, but this metabolic syndrome, this combination, puts women at even higher risk.
Wow.
So get the diabetes under control. Know what your blood sugar is. Know where your cholesterol levels and your triglyceride levels are trending. And then, of course, get that blood pressure under control.
So do migraines make you more susceptible to stroke?
Women are four times more likely to have migraines, and most of them are not associated, but there are certain things. We know that women who have migraines with aura, which is where they have that sort of, they know their migraine's coming, perhaps it's
a visual disturbance.
Correct. Especially if they have them under the age of 55, if they're on birth control with it, if they smoke with it, and if they have a lot of migraines, that's associated with a higher risk of having stroke.
So again, what do you do about it?
Talk to your primary care. Some of our primary care doctors are not all familiar with that. So there are treatments, but you have to have that dialogue.
Okay. What about oral contraception? Because we were talking about birth control pills as something. Does that make you more prone to something like a stroke? And should you know about your history in terms of those kinds of things?
That's the key, Linda, because oral contraceptive by itself does not necessarily carry a higher risk, but it does in older women, and by older I mean in their 40s and 50s who are on oral contraception, women who smoke, those who have that combination of the metabolic syndrome, any of those risk factors are going to put women on oral contraception at a higher risk for stroke.
So now when you talk about that, and this is hormones, how about pregnancy? Does that put you at a greater risk for stroke as well?
Pregnancy does, particularly if you have one of the associated eclampsia or one of the complications of pregnancy that's associated with a high blood pressure or any of these other, you're a diabetic. So again, every time we look at it, it's putting these risk factors together that makes such
And it sounds to me that they're almost cumulative.
Absolutely.
Tell us very briefly, overall, what should women then do?
So women need to know their risk factors, and we need to be empowered to take action to reduce those risks, to have the dialogue with our physicians, know how to recognize it, and then if you see somebody having it or if you see the symptoms in yourself, get help fast.
Very important information, very important facts. Thank you so much, Shelley. My guest has been Shelley Clark. She's the Stroke Program Coordinator for Upstate University Hospital. Once again, women need to pay attention that they too can have a stroke.